And welcome, friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you. I'm a homeschool father of five, raising our kids out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. Lots of reasons to homeschool your kids. Steve Vaughn, also with me on this edition of the program, homeschool father of six. Lots of reasons to homeschool these days, Steve, because, well, I mean, there's the transgendered schools, the transgendered bathrooms, the critical race theory stuff, the homosexualization of the curriculum, and human sacrifice? The worship of false gods in California schools? I guess that's just one more reason to homeschool your kids in the state of Colorado or California.
Yeah. Wow. So where does the human sacrifice come in on schools and homeschooling?
Well, it's the new ethnic studies class that's sponsored by the California Department of Education. Apparently, it's, I don't know how mandatory it is, but it has been released to the California public school system. And the Thomas More Society has filed a lawsuit against the state of California on accusations that this system is forcing public school students to worship pagan gods. The ethnic studies curriculum unequivocally promotes five Aztec gods or deities through repetitive chanting and affirmation of their symbolic principles, constituting an unlawful government preference towards a particular religious practice. That, according to the suit filed by Thomas More Society, also noted in that was that the worship of these gods required the most gruesome and horrific acts of human sacrifice, something that should not be promoted in the public schools. So that was the lawsuit that was filed by the Thomas More Society. I have not read the material at this point, but the ethnic studies curriculum evidently is promoting the worship of pagan gods, including the chants, the prayers, and these sorts of things. Now, not to say that they brought the human sacrifice in. It's only to say that these gods required human sacrifice. Right now, they're just doing the chants and the prayers. My understanding is they haven't done the human sacrifices to date. But I wonder, yeah, will they do it? Will they bring the human sacrifices to these Aztec gods into the public schools?
Well, haven't they, like, promoted abortion and Planned Parenthood and all of that in the schools already? I mean, that isn't that a setup for that?
Well, I think so. Back in 2019, Planned Parenthood established something like five or six of these Planned Parenthood centers in public high schools throughout the Los Angeles County districts. And also, if I'm not mistaken, Governor Newsom signed a Senate bill a few years ago called the College Student Right to Access Act, which meant that college students had a right to kill their babies. And apparently there's some promotion of that on the college classrooms in the state of California. So yes, there has been a promotion of human sacrifice in California schools. Whether that's a mandated portion of these classes, I don't know. I don't think so at this point.
Well, not at this point anyway. But maybe it's coming attractions to a school near you.
It's hard to say, Steve. You know, again, you know, we could be, you know, ironic about this, but the irony of the present day is reality 2 years later. So, you know, it would not surprise me if they brought voluntary human sacrifice into public schools in the state of California or somewhere else in America. Now, it would be voluntary human sacrifice, not in the case of abortion, but I'm talking about in terms of, you know, if one of the high school students said, I'm willing to be a human sacrifice to an Aztec god, it's possible the district would allow it. Now, the secular state would allow this kind of polytheism because all religions are permitted except for the religion that calls out, thou shalt have no other gods before me. That is the true and living God. That's the only religion not allowed in public schools today. I think we all know that. But now, you know, we as Christians take a position against human sacrifice. I think there should be no ifs, ands, or buts on this. Steve, we take a position against human sacrifice. We think it's wrong. We think it should be against the law. We think there should be a capital punishment for anybody who tries to incorporate human sacrifice as part of their religious rites anywhere in the United States. Make no mistake about it, friends. If this happens in Denver public high schools, Steve and I will be protesting human sacrifices. You agree
Amen
with me, Steve?
Oh, yeah. amen to that. I mean, God strictly prohibits that. In fact, any sacrifice now, any animal sacrifice and all that, that it's became that was fulfilled through the blood of Jesus Christ. Even if you're doing animal sacrifices seemingly for the right reason, there is no right reason anymore because Jesus ended all sacrifice with his own sacrifice.
Yes, absolutely. And I know it's unpopular for Christians to stand up for God's law like this. I mean, some of you may be shocked that we're taking a position against human sacrifice on this program. Some of you may be shocked we're applying the word of God, that we're saying God's law prohibits this kind of thing. Therefore, we would encourage the local magistrates, whether it be the state government or the local sheriff, to stop any human sacrifice going on in our counties or our state. Now, again, that may be a shock to some people. But as a Christian who keeps the faith of Jesus and the commandments of God, we stand strongly on Deuteronomy 12 and 13. You shall surely destroy all the places where the nations whom you shall dispossess served their gods, on the high mountains, on the hills, and under every green tree. This is where they did their human sacrifice. You shall tear down those altars and dash in pieces their pillars and burn their Ashtoreth. With fire you shall chop down the carved images of their gods and destroy their name out of that place. Take care that you be not ensnared to follow them after they have been destroyed before you, and that you do not inquire about their gods, saying, how do these nations serve their gods? That I also may do the same. You shall not worship the Lord your God in that way. For every abominable thing that the Lord hates, they have done for their gods, for they even burn their sons and their daughters in the fire to their gods. That's Deuteronomy 12, verses 30 to 31. And then Deuteronomy 13 assigns capital punishment for those who try to bring human sacrifice back. And friends, I know this is a bit of a shock, but I think the civil magistrate should draw the line and say no human sacrifice in public schools in the state of California or anywhere else. We'll deal with this more in just a moment on the Generations broadcast.
Attention, homeschool parents. Here at Generations, we know that finding literature curriculum that engages your children's minds and helps them develop a strong Christian worldview can be an overwhelming task. That's why we've developed a Christian discipleship-focused literature curriculum that's centered around the most important work of literature ever written, the Word of God. Not only do our Bible-centric courses seek to place Christ at the head of literature studies, but they will also teach your children how to analyze all literature from a Christian perspective, enabling them to be more than conquerors in today's battle of worldviews. By introducing them to the essential stories of the faith, along with the written works of history's best Christian authors, our literature curriculum provides the bedrock for a firm foundation of faith in the hearts of your children. So, get started today with Generations Christian Discipleship Curriculum and watch your children embark on an incredible journey towards strengthening their faith and discovering the greatest Christian stories ever told. You can learn more and browse our selection of carefully curated works at generations.org/curriculum. That's generations.org/curriculum.
Steve and Kevin back on the Generations broadcast. Steve, we're taking a stance against human sacrifice in public schools in the United States. It's quite courageous of you to take a firm stand on this in a day of relativism like this. I mean, I commend you for your courage.
Yeah, well, I mean, it takes faith to stand up to the generation and to the current system of the day and to take a biblical stand on certain things. But hey, you know, who knows? I might get canceled, but that's all right.
Yeah, and of course, we're being a little bit facetious, but not entirely, because, you know, to take a stance against anything, to categorically say this is wrong, is the ultimate heresy in the present day. You know, this relativistic way of thinking allows for every perspective except for the one that says there is truth. There is an absolute. There is the true and living God who is the very source of truth and law. That, my friends, is the most politically incorrect position to take in the present day. So I guess my question is, why are the Californians worshiping the gods of the Aztecs and training their children to do so? This seems to be a fairly high priority for the Californians these days. And I would say that the secular state does reduce itself to pagan religions, but it's not just a secular state without religion. This idea that the secular state is neutral and the secular state is free of all religious propositions. That is, they believe nothing in terms of fundamental worldviews. No, they have a worldview. It's materialism. It's humanism. It includes pantheism, polytheism, earth worship. It's all of that. Now you say, well, how in the world can they be consistent if they believe in polytheism and atheism at the same time? How in the world can they be materialists, humanists, and atheists as well as polytheists at the same time? And my answer is simply this. What you've got here is really a post-Christian, apostate Christian government, like the United States. It's a compendium of religions that have unified themselves against Christ and against the true and living God. It's effectively Psalm 2. Let us take counsel against the Lord and against his anointed. Let us break their bands asunder. Let us cast their cords from us. But of course, he that is in the heavens shall have. This is what is going on. Right now, the Western governments, they know about Jesus. They've come to know him, and they decided they hate him, and they have declared war against him in the most self-conscious way possible. This is what's going on the present day. The modern secular humanist religion is not really just secular humanist. It's anti-Christ. It's anti-whatever is Christian. The religion promoted in the public schools is anything that would be against the Bible, the true and living God, and Jesus Christ. It's rabidly anti-Christian. That's what it is. It's grabbing at anything that might be an insult to Jesus, that might be an insult to everything we know to be true, and it's holding to it as hard and fast as possible. It's anything that is counter-Christianity. That's the religion that is celebrated today, Steve.
Yeah, I would totally agree with you. You see it every day. You see it on the streets, in the homelessness, in the governments, in the schools, in big tech, big media, news agencies and things like that. They're all holding to an anti-God, anti-Bible, anti-what God says type of philosophy. And so it's no wonder we're seeing all of the things just falling down around us. God said it was going to happen that way if you go away from him. I mean, it says it in Deuteronomy. If you keep my statutes, if you keep my law, these are the things that are going to be for you. If you don't, there's a bigger list of all the things and all the curses that could happen.
Well, and the approach they're taking is to go to the most horrific, the most satanic, the most horrible, possible, demonic-filled, wretched, wicked behavior ever experienced in all of human history and reincorporating it into society today. This is the goal of the post-Christian age. Now, we talk about this in Taking the World for Jesus, the remarkable story of the Greatest Commission. We go through what the world was like before Jesus, and then we talk about where the world went once the missionaries came. There were some amazing transformations that occurred over 1,000 years, over 2,000 years of Christian missionary work, and we've got to tell the stories to our kids, especially in this post-Christian Western age. We need to bring the story to bear. Why? Because we want our children to be optimistic as to the contributions of Jesus. Jesus made contributions until the bad attitude took over in the Western world and then tried to bring back all of the evil things, the most evil possible things that man has ever done. That's been reincorporated into modern society since 1973. But nightmarish ceremonies that could have only been inspired by the devil took place among the Aztecs, the Mayan Indians, when the Europeans arrived on the scene in the early 16th century. Priests would pull the heart out of live human beings. And the Spanish conquistador, Hernan Cortez, reported it to be the most terrible and frightful thing we have ever witnessed. According to historian and journalist Tim Stanley, the Aztecs were a culture obsessed with death. They believed that human sacrifice was the highest form of karmic healing. When the Great Pyramid of Tenochtitlan was consecrated in 1487, the Aztecs recorded 84,000 people slaughtered in 4 days. All right, that's what is being celebrated in California schools, friends. This is what's being brought back in your public schools in the state of California. As Christians, of course, we should utterly repudiate this wickedness and pull ourselves away from the evil schools as much as we would from the heathen temples of the Aztecs in 1487. So any Christian left in public schools in California today should separate themselves from these systems in protest against the human sacrifice of the Aztecs. The country was rife with human sacrifice, as recorded firsthand by Diaz del Castillo, who was with Cortez when he encountered the Aztecs. Immediately upon arriving on the island of San Juan de Ula, they witnessed a terrible cruelty. They had this day sacrificed two boys and cut open their chests and offered the blood and hearts to their cursed idol. When Cortez's army reached the army chieftain Montezuma, they found that he was very much devoted to his idols, the latter the god of war and the other the god of hell, and daily he sacrificed youths to these gods. In more detail, Castillo reported on what they found in every city they visited in Mexico. When Pedro del Alvarado reached these towns, he found that they had all been deserted that same day, and he found in the queues bodies of men and boys had been sacrificed in the walls and altars stained with blood and the hearts placed as offerings before the idols. He also found the stones on which the sacrifices were made, the stone knives with which to open the chest as to take out the heart. Pedro de Alvarado said that he found most of the bodies without arms or legs, and that he was told by some Indians that they had been carried off to be eaten, and so forth and so on. Every day, Cortez's men witnessed these human sacrifices. He described the priests as what one would expect to see in a horror movie, dressed in black cloaks, reached to their feet with hair down to their feet, covered with blood and so matted together that it could not be separated. They stank like sulfur and carrion, and they indulged in the cursed practice of homosexuality. And so on it goes. Well, this was, of course, brought to an end by the Christian influence in the Western world. Thankfully, these horrific, nightmarish situations were ended, but now reintroduced into the modern world in the form of homosexuality, abortion, human sacrifice, and other forms, and celebrated in California public schools today. Seems shocking, doesn't it, Steve, to see this kind of stuff reintroduced into American schools?
I cannot imagine why and what the purpose would be to have the children doing the chants and singing the songs and doing that of such a pagan, horrific culture. But you know, sadly, it doesn't surprise me just because of the age we live in. It's crazy. They've done, you know, magic spells and things like that. I thought there was separation of church and state, though. You know, that's what kind of gets me. You can't have Christianity in the schools, but sure, you can have the paganism.
Oh, separation of church and state, just a ruse. Just a means by which to get Christians to back off so that they could bring their own religions in. I mean, we all know that. We've been talking about that for 25 years. Well, human sacrifice always represents the end of a civilization. It was the end of the Mayan civilization. It was the end of the Aztecs. It was the end of the Carthaginians. Carthaginians were all about human sacrifice, especially towards the end. And that was one of the key reasons why their downfall at the hand of the Romans in the Punic Wars. Just read Preparing the World for Jesus. Also, Taking the World for Jesus. We go over these things. If you want to understand world history from a distinctively Christian ethical perspective, be sure to get Preparing the World for Jesus and what I just read from Taking the World for Jesus, all available at generations.org. It's our ninth grade history, but it's really meant for the whole family. I wouldn't say it's quite ready for the six-year-olds, but I would use this as a Christian worldview perspective of world history for your high school students. And a couple other things. The U.S., as we mentioned, is all about human sacrifice today. The whole Western world returned to human sacrifice in 1973. 57% of the people in this country are sacrificed to the god of convenience. In other words, Steve, I think it would be honest to say that we are doing far worse than the Aztecs. I don't think the Aztecs killed off 57% of their population by infanticide and by human sacrifice. But that's what we're doing today. The IUD takes out about 37% of the babies conceived, according to the Stanford study. And the abortifacients take out about, well, maybe another 2 or 3%. But abortions take out about 20%. So you've got at least 57%, probably closer to 65%. Of babies conceived in this nation are sacrificed to the god of convenience. So keep that in mind. But here's the second takeaway. Man is religious here. Man knows about the supernatural realm. I don't think that pure scientific materialism is enough for man. he still seems to want to worship the lesser gods. Now, he doesn't want to worship the true and living God. He doesn't want to worship the God who is over everything, the God who is the source of all truth and ethics and sovereign over all reality. He doesn't want to fall on his face before the true and living God and seek his forgiveness for his sins by his mercy, by the sacrifice of his only begotten son, as you mentioned, Steve. That's what he doesn't want to do. He doesn't want to admit to fault. He doesn't want to be humbled before the true and living God, the only sovereign God over heaven and earth. He doesn't want that. Therefore, he resorts to polytheism. This is why polytheism is so popular, because it's an attempt to create a lesser God that's not sovereign over all. Man is running away from God, and that's what Darwin is all about. That's what public schools are all about. They're just about running away from God. Psalm 94 refers to this. They crush your people, O Lord, and afflict your heritage. They kill the widow and the sojourner and murder the fatherless. And they say, the Lord does not see. The God of Jacob does not perceive. Understand, O dull of the people. Fools, when will you be wise? He who planted the ear, does he not hear? He who formed the eye, does he not see? He who disciplines the nations, does he not rebuke? He who teaches man knowledge, the Lord knows the thoughts of man, that they are but a breath. This pretending, it's all pretending. The whole Darwin thing, the whole evolutionary thing, the polytheistic thing. All of this is just pretending that God doesn't exist. He knows God exists. He just suppresses the truth and unrighteousness. And he will not humble himself before the true and living God and confess his sins and then receive his salvation through his son, Jesus Christ. One last takeaway before we're done. Steve, it's somewhat difficult to maintain an optimistic eschatology in the midst of all of this. See, mass human sacrifice was eliminated for about 1,000 years. In fact, one of the last nations in the Western world to eliminate it was Iceland. Roughly the year 1000 AD was the point at which Iceland made the decision on the basis of the Christian Bible to ban infanticide as part of their cultural practice. That ended about 1,000 years ago. But it came back in force between 1973 and 2020 when the final Western nation, New Zealand, capitulated to the abortion vision in the year 2020. And then 3 days later, God sent the COVID-19 virus to hamstring the entire Western economy. New Zealand shut down its economy, and it brought the entire Western world to its knees. Within 3 days after finally completing the vision of reincorporating human sacrifice and abortion into the Western world. But here's the challenge for us, is to retain an optimistic worldview in the midst of this. The post-millennials, the pre-millennials, the amillennials. I think we all need to keep the big picture in mind. That, you know, Jesus Christ has established his kingdom. He's established his church, and the gates of hell has not prevailed against it. Indeed, I asked somebody this week. I said, how many disciples did Jesus have in the year 33 AD? And they said something like 120. I said, does he have a few more than that today? Yeah, there's 2.2 billion professing Christians around the globe. Now, granted, we've lost cultural influence on the institutions, the nations. But that's not to negate the common grace and the influence and the salt and light that has been contributed by Christians for 2,000 years. Let's not negate that. And that's why we present a fairly optimistic social studies and history curriculum as part of the Christian worldview offerings through our K-12 curriculum available at generations.org. But Steve, here's the challenge, is to maintain something of an optimism. And I think we need to maintain optimism while we maintain something of a realism. The Western world has corrupted the whole world with its policies, but the missionary movement has also impacted the whole world, every tribe and nation, especially since the year 1800, because of this mass influence of the Christian gospel around the world. So we got to be careful on the one hand not to be too pessimistic with what Christ has already done, but we have to be careful not to be unrealistically optimistic with the current state of affairs. Do you see where we are now, Steve?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. And one of the things that I try to teach my students in the things that I do is that there is hope because we hope in Christ. And if there's hope in the future, because we know God is, he's coming again. Jesus is coming again and everything is going to be made right. So we have hope in the future. But what we see, our perceptions are different than our perspective. Our perspective is that God knows what's going on. And if God knows what's going on and none of this took him by surprise, then God must have a plan and a purpose, which ultimately will be to glorify himself and to strengthen the church. And because of that perspective, we can still have hope.
Jesus is on the throne. Jesus is risen from the dead. Jesus has conquered the devil at the cross. Jesus is on the right hand of the Father. He rules until his enemies are under his footstool. These are the data points we're given in Scripture. I think we can continue to ride on that. I believe we should ride on that. Jesus has made progress, especially if you take it from a worldwide perspective. Now, you can take one data point for sure. I think you can take this for sure. Christ is on the throne. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he will tread out the winepress of the wrath of Almighty God on the Western nations, and they're not going to get away with his treachery. That's just the way it works. Now, whether you know all of the progress will be made at one point in time at the final wrap-up, or whether there's ongoing overwhelming of enemies, is somewhat of a debate between Christians. Now, I happen to believe there's a both and on this. You know, I believe he's making progress and has made progress. And I believe at the end, he will bring all matters into judgment. And then we get the new heavens and new earth. So, you know, yes, it all turns out well at the end. So I believe there's progress in the meantime, but at the end, there's a final consummation. So I guess you could say that we have every reason to be optimistic, despite the challenges that we face in our own time and place.
Absolutely. There's always optimism because what you said, Jesus Christ is on the throne. He's not coming to be a king. He's the king who is coming again.
Amen. Well, that wraps up this edition of the Generations Broadcast. Encourage you to our history curriculum, especially taking the world for Jesus and preparing the world for Jesus. I think it's a helpful, optimistic outlook and gives you a good perspective, a Christ-centered perspective of 2,000 years. No, make that 6,000 years of world history. And that's available at our website, generations.org. That's preparing the world for Jesus and taking the world for Jesus. There's a workbook that goes along with that course as well, if you'd like. Otherwise, they make for great read-out louds. Available at generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson and Steve Vaughn. We invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.